I will call upon our brother Jonathan Lawrence to give to us the words of exhortation.
Good morning, everybody. We made it. So, this morning we come to remember a man. We come to remember a life that was lived. We remember his actions and we remember his words that he spoke when he lived here on earth. Now, this remembrance that we have here this morning is designed so that it has a change, so that it causes a change in our life. By thinking about Jesus, we are to reflect on our own lives and how we live our own lives individually. To see his life and then to compare it to our life to see what needs to be changed and what we can continually change in our lives. Not only has our God supplied us with the perfect example of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he has also supplied us with many other imperfect examples. There are so many people that we can learn from in the scriptures of their lives. People who weren't sinless, just like us. People who failed very badly in their lives. People who started their lives very well, but then fell down as time went on. And that's what we do so often in our lives. We are very weak and we are very prone to failing in our walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. The lives that we have been called to live by Jesus are not easy. The way of life that Jesus lived does not happen within us, does not happen in our lives without a fight. So we remind ourselves week by week, day by day, of what we want to be like, of who we want to be like, and how we want to live our lives. We need to remind ourselves that I want to be like this man. I want to do what Jesus did. So the question this morning is, what did he do? And what did Jesus' life look like? What did he say? But not only Jesus' life, but what did the lives of other people in the Bible look like? This morning I would specifically like to focus our attention on Romans chapter 16, and this aspect of service that comes out. The aspect of service in our life to Jesus and to our brethren and sisters. What does it mean to be a servant? How does a servant act? What should our hearts and what should our actions look like to go along with this aspect of service? So Romans chapter 16 in the first verse, this jumped out right at me when I read this about Phoebe, how Paul talks about Phoebe and how she was a servant. Romans chapter 16, verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the ecclesia which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. So in that verse, Paul calls her a servant of the church. Now, the word that we have here used for servant in this context specifically means a minister, a waiter, or an attendant. The Greek word is diakonos, and you can kind of see from there we get the English word for deacon. Diakonos in the English is deacon. One who dedicates their life to serving the ecclesia. Now this woman, Phoebe, was known as a deacon of the ecclesia. She was constantly serving in whatever way that she could. Male or female, we all have the responsibility to serve the ecclesia in whatever way we can. We have to be ministers or waiters for each other. Now the idea or principle of service is obviously very important. Now, there are a number of different words that are used for servant in the New Testament. We're going to specifically look at two of them. We have this word here, servant or minister, deacon, that is used of Phoebe here. And we have another word that is used for servant, and that is a slave, doulos, to be owned physically and spiritually by another person. Though this word slave is used of our relationship with God. We'll look at this, and it's very interesting. We look at the word minister, servant here of Phoebe, is used of our relationship with each other, and we have another word that is used of our relationship, our slavery to God. This concept of slavery to God and a minister to our brethren and sisters is a very interesting subject and is a very neat one that I hope that we can flesh out this morning. So our lives belong to God. We have been purchased at our baptism with the blood of the Lamb. When we were baptized, we died to ourselves and now belong totally to God. A slave had no time for themselves. They were completely and utterly at the beck and call of their masters. If they did have any time for themselves, it would be instantly cut short if the master needed anything done. They had no rights. They had no possessions. They really were nothing. Everything that they were or had belonged completely to their owner, to their master. Now that's what we are. We are slaves to God. Paul, John, James, Jude, and Peter all start their letters or their epistles stating this fact, that they are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ or of God, that they are slaves. Now this slavery, unlike most slavery that takes place in our world, is not taken under duress, but we take on this slavery willingly. This is the life that we have chosen when we were baptized. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. We are willing servants of our God. Luke chapter 17, verses 7 to 10 speak of this. Luke 17 and verse 7. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go, sit down to meat, but will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded of him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. So that's us. That's the position that we find ourselves in. And it's not something that we do well all of the time. When we come in from our service, when we come in from the field, we like a little recognition. We like to be recognized for the stuff that we do. But a slave is only doing the things that are required of them. Now, this is such a foreign concept in our society today, this concept of slavery and of belonging to someone else. I have a hard time understanding this, a hard time grasping this concept, because it is so foreign in our society. Our society is all about personal freedoms and rights and choice. Now, it's great that our society allows us this choice to follow our God, but being constantly bombarded with, we need to do things my way, and I have the right to do this, and I can do whatever I want to do, it dulls us to the fact that we belong to our God. Our lives don't belong to us. We have been passed over from our life to God's life at baptism. Now, our lives must reflect this state of mind. Our minds must accept the fact that I can't do as I please. I belong to someone else who requires my service. Let's turn back a couple of chapters to Luke chapter 12, verses 31 and 37. Continues to talk about this aspect of a slave, of a servant doing things. Luke chapter 12, 31 to 37. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fail not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. So blessed are the slaves who are watching. That's what we are doing. This describes what we should be doing. We should be watching. We should be looking out for Jesus to come. But what does it say? What did we read about before that? What were the things that they were to be doing? One of the things was to sell all that you have and give to the poor. Now, that's a very difficult concept, especially in our society today with the amount of stuff, with the capitalism and that kind of stuff that is part of our society. Are we prepared to sell all that we have and give alms and give to the poor? Are we prepared to leave everything that we have behind when Christ returns and comes for his servants? Is our heart and our mind in the kingdom and not here with all of our stuff? If it is, if we are willing to give up everything that we have, then Jesus, our Lord and Master, will come and serve us. Just as he did with his disciples at the Last Supper, he will do so for us if we are constantly watching. Our possessions are not really ours in the end anyways, and our life is not really ours to do with as we please. Our stuff and our abilities that we have needs to be given in service to God and to each other. We are bound to serve God in every way that we can. That duty to our God translates to service to our brethren and sisters. So just as Phoebe was a minister or a waiter to the ecclesia, so too must we be all deacons to the ecclesia. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 10. We have here both words used for slave and minister in these couple of verses in Mark chapter 10, 42 to 44. So it ties together our service to each other and our slavery to God. Mark 10, 42 to 44. And Jesus called them to him and said unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you will be your minister, your servant. And whomsoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant or slave of all. So we have both words there, minister and slave. So our slavery to God translates into total service to each other. The example stated is that of Jesus that we remember this morning, how that he served everybody to the greatest extent that he could. Now he is the greatest. He is the best. He is also our Lord and our Master, our Chief. Yet he served. He was the one who took off all of his clothes, wrapped himself in a towel, and washed his disciples' feet. He was the one who stayed up late and got up early to encourage and to serve the people around him. And he is the one who hung on the cross for you and me. Now he has asked us to show the same dedication to each other. He has asked us to serve each other in every way that we can. Now, every single one of us needs to be a servant of the ecclesia. We specifically have designated 7 particular brethren to lead and serve the ecclesia. But it is not their responsibility alone. Each one of us must become a deacon or a servant of the ecclesia. Turn over a page, or maybe not, to Mark chapter 9, verse 35. Similar context. Mark 9, 35. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last and servant of all. And that's what Christ was. He was a servant of all. The greatest among us, I think I need to read verse 34. Let's read verse 34. But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last and servant of all. So the greatest among us are to be the ones who serve the most. The one who give up the most of their own lives for the ecclesia and for the brethren and sisters. They are the ones that are accounted greatest in God's eyes. Is that how we account greatness in our ecclesia? Now our very lives depend on our service to each other. Our eternal salvation is dependent upon this. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31. This is so important for us to remember this and to understand this, that our service to each other as a minister, as a waiter, is vital. Matthew 25, 31 to 41. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw thee we sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So the judgment is based upon how we treat our brethren and sisters. And amazingly, the people who did this did not really even recognize that they were doing it. It wasn't obvious to them that this was how they were acting. Verse 39 and 38 and 39. They question, when did we ever do this to you, Lord? And Christ tells them is that they did it unto one of the least of these my brethren. Now, is this our attitude to service? Has it become so natural for us that we just serve our brethren and sisters every single day? Has it become just a part of our lives that we serve the ecclesia, that we do things for our brethren and sisters, that we clothe them, that we feed them, that we do these things? The more we serve, the easier it becomes. This is true of so many things in our lives. The first time that we do something, it's usually quite difficult, and maybe it's uncomfortable. Now, this happens with good things and with bad things. The first time we do something, sometimes it might be difficult. But the more times you do it, the more times you do it over and over again, the easier it becomes. Now, we know this happens with the bad things that we do, with the evil things in our lives. The first time you do it, a lot of times your conscience pricks yourself. But if you do it again and again, you just become numb to that. Now we want to try and do that on the positive side, on the helpful side. The more times we can serve, the more times we can do things for our brethren and sisters, hopefully the more natural we become, so that in the end, we don't even think about it. We don't even think that we're doing it. And we question, did we even do these types of things? Because we do it so naturally or unnaturally, but we do it all the time. We have to get to a point when thinking of others comes before self. When our love and our compassion for each other takes precedent over care for self. A waiter does not consider their own needs, but makes sure that those who are dining have what is necessary. Now Christ showed this time and time again in his life, and how we can follow that and take examples from it. Let's take a look at two quick examples. Mark chapter 6. How can we serve each other? How did Christ do it? And what did it look like when he served the people around him? Mark chapter 6, 31 to 34. We know these examples. We've read these before and we know them. Just reminding us ourselves this morning. Mark 6, 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So Jesus and his disciples were exhausted from all of the stuff that was going on around them. They had worked all day. They had been working for weeks, I'm sure. And they just wanted to get away for a little peace and quiet, a little time to recuperate, to reflect, to spiritually upbuild themselves, most likely. With Christ around, that would have been the focus would have been. They were going to go away, have a little time for themselves, reflect, meditate on God's word, positive things that they were going to do, you would think. But then all of these people come and badger them, come and ask for things, and they need help, and they need this, and they need that. What does Christ do? Christ does not question them one bit, but he provides for their needs, physically as well as spiritually at this time. He served them, he forfeited the time that him and his disciples could have spent strengthening themselves. He gave that time up. And he served the people around him whenever he could, and not just when he felt like doing it. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 7, another example of how Christ served those around him. Luke 7, 12 to 14. Let's read verse 11 for context. Luke 7. Verse 11, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Now we know the story and we know what happens. But we see here that Jesus saw a need and he did something about it. He didn't have to raise that child. He could have used a huge number of different lessons. He could have comforted the woman. He could have spoken about the resurrection. He could have used this as a lesson for his disciples about the hope that we have after death, that we can be raised and that the kingdom is coming. He could have used all of these other things that could have helped, but he didn't do that. He did what he could. He helped in whatever way he could. He wasn't asked to do anything, but he did. And he served this woman in the most amazing ways. He did what was needful, what was helpful for her, and no one asked him to do it. Now we all have eyes and we all have ears. And we know things that happen around us. We know that some people do need help. Are we willing to do whatever we can to reach out and to help? Obviously not in amazing ways that Christ did here by raising a son from the dead. But we have the ability to reach out, maybe not when we're asked, but we can help. We can reach out. Now it goes both ways. When we reach out to somebody, we need to swallow our own pride and get down on our hands and knees and wash each other's feet. But we also have to swallow our own pride as Peter did when he had his feet washed by Christ. We all need help and we all need to help. Faith in Christ requires us to look out for each other's welfare. If we believe in Jesus, then our lives must demonstrate that belief in action to those around us. Two last references. Let's look at Romans chapter 15 that we had read. First couple of verses speak again about this helping each other out, for looking after each other, for strengthening each other. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So examples like Phoebe, and specifically the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, were written so that we can remember, so that we can reflect, and that we can change our lives. We need to see the love and the compassion that our Lord Jesus Christ had and incorporate that into our lives. We can see what has been done for us in the sacrifice of Jesus. Now, if all of this history does not affect our lives, if it does not help us to learn, then it is pointless. We have looked at how we are slaves to our God. We have looked at how we have been bought with the blood of the Lamb of God. Our lives then are to be filled with service to each other. As we take this bread and wine into our bodies and remember Jesus, let's remember his service this week. How can I show my God that I do love him and that I do belong to him as a slave? How can I display my faith in God that I do want to be in the kingdom? We've been told how we can do this. We've been told that we need to show this to each other in service. One last reference, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. So even as we physically take this bread and this wine into our bodies, so too must we take spiritually Jesus into our lives and incorporate this mind into our minds. This life that we remember this morning must manifest itself in service to each other, just as Christ did for us.